And when you crush an apple with your teeth, say to it in your heart, your seed shall live in my body, and the buds of your tomorrow shall blossom in my heart. Your fragrance shall be my breath, and together we shall rejoice through all the seasons. And so I invite you now, if you want to, crush the apple with your teeth. Go ahead and eat the sunshine, eat the air, eat the earth, eat the rain. Go ahead and eat while I preach about ethical eating. So how many of you have heard of Rick Warren? He's the evangelical preacher at the Saddleback Church in California, and he also wrote the whole series of purpose-driven life books. His latest evangelical message goes after a brand new target, and that is the expanding bellies of his congregants. Apparently, he was baptizing a whole bunch of people, and as they were stepping in and out of the pool, he noticed that quite a few of them were overweight. And then he looked down at himself, and he realized, wow, he had gained 30 pounds over the last 3 decades. At that moment, he awakened to a brand new ministry, something that he calls the Daniel Diet, using the prophet Daniel as his exemplar. Yes, this is the same Daniel with the lion's den. He's the same Daniel that would not eat the king's diet of fatty meats and wines and instead insisted that he would eat vegetables and water only. Please, thank you. Don't worry, I'm not going to try to convince you to eat a lot of broccoli and spring water. And I'm not going to get all preachy about what to eat and what not to eat. That isn't what ethical eating is all about. There are certainly lots and lots of religions, aren't there, that insist on strict rules about eating and drinking. There are the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, Hindus, Jews, Muslims. Well, Unitarian Universalists, just we don't have those kind of rules. Instead of rules, we have covenants. We have promises, sacred promises that we have made to each other, we have made to ourselves, and that we have made to the ground of being. We have promised each other that we will uphold the worth and dignity of every person. We have promised each other that we will be curious and open-minded in our search for truth and meaning. And we have promised each other to protect the interdependent web of life. And so while Unitarian Universalists don't have any prohibitions against eating meat or shellfish or drinking coffee or drinking wine, we do strive to live by an ethic of food and drink that rises from a theology of interconnectedness and reverence for all of life. Now, as a lot of you know, the territory of ethical eating is vast. We could spend a lot of time exploring here and find ourselves entangled in a system that involves the inhumane slaughter of creatures, uneconomical and exploitative uses of land, disregard of personal health. All of these issues connect us with a world community in which food security and environmental justice are matters of life and death. We now face many, many challenges on our earth, from rising energy costs, rising food costs, climate change, declining water supplies, and a world population that is quickly approaching 9 billion people. Ethical eating is also concerned with animal rights and that system of factory farming that denies animals any reason for existence other than to be killed and consumed by us. Then there's that whole troubling paradox of widespread hunger on one hand and then an epidemic of obesity on the other. Each year, more than a quarter of the food produced in the United States for human consumption is lost. It's thrown away. And yet, every year, 6 million children die of hunger and malnutrition around the globe. As the Earth's population continues to grow and grow, there's also this tension growing between wealthy eaters who insist on organic, traditional farming methods and billions of poor eaters who depend on high yields. As one economist put it, the concerns of the critics of modern agriculture may be understandable, but the reaction against intensive farming is a luxury only for the rich. Traditional and organic farming could feed Europeans and Americans, but it cannot feed 9 billion people. As I mentioned earlier, these are just some of the concerns that hopefully we're going to talk about during our Social Justice Weekend event on April 27th and 28th. And so let's continue the conversation there about these issues. But for this morning's time, this morning's focus, I really want to look at the spirituality of eating. What is our sacred relationship to food? Can eating really be worship? Wendell Berry is a wonderful farmer and poet. He claims that we have become industrial eaters. Industrial eaters. He says that we are consumers participating in a market economy rather than earthly creatures participating in an agricultural system. As consumers, we've become rather passive and uncritical when it comes to our food. The food industry is really good at convincing us that fast, instant, pre-prepared food is really what we want. The Nestle's Corporation, for example, has been outrageously successful in persuading us to eat and drink things that our bodies clearly don't want, and in fact are contributing to our failing health. I think lots of people see food as fuel. And I hear a lot of exercise gurus talk about that. You know, think about your food as fuel for the body. The quicker and more convenient we can make the refueling process, the better. Right? And so we rush through our meals, we gulp down a protein shake for breakfast, we gobble up a protein bar for lunch, we take a handful of vitamins to make sure that we get all the nutrients we need. As industrial eaters, our primary relationship is with the manufacturer of that food, the brand name of that food, and the certain amount of satisfaction we get. Sensory satisfaction while we're eating. But what is lost entirely in that way of industrial eating is the relationship with the cosmos, the relationship with the universe, and our ability to relate to the bounties of the earth with a deep, deep sense of reverence. Today, we celebrate the commitment that we have all made to live and work and eat as a green sanctuary. That commitment rises out of a core Unitarian Universalist theology that explains humanity's relationship to the cosmos. Donna said it earlier, we affirm the interconnected web of all existence. This is the seventh of seven UU principles, and it uses this very compelling image of the web. And whether you envision it as a spider web or maybe Indra's net of Buddhist philosophy, this web describes our interdependence, where one event, you know, when one event happens at one part of the network, it disrupts and it reverberates throughout the whole system. And this means that any little thing that we do, anything that we think is a small action is actually quite impactful. So when you come to church on Sunday morning, your arms full of number 6 plastics, it does make a difference. It really does. We may not think that our daily actions matter, but it matters to the cosmos. The shape of this web is also revealing. A web is flat, isn't it? It reminds us that the relationship, our relationship to the cosmos, is not a hierarchy. Humans, I'm sorry to say, are not the center of the universe. Humans are not the ultimate source of meaning and value. We're not above the web. We are part of this web. Unfortunately, a lot of us have lost that perspective, and our hubris, our pride, has led to catastrophes for ourselves and for a multitude of other beings. For too long, humans have seen ourselves as the subject and everything else as the object. With this mindset, we have achieved amazing control over our natural world, leading to both good and devastating results. It's easy to forget sometimes that it's not the human race, but it's actually this interconnected web, the cosmos itself, that is the ultimate source of meaning and value. I have a lot of hope, though. I have a lot of hope that we are starting to remember, and I see signs of it everywhere. I see signs of it especially in this congregation, that we're remembering who we are and our place in the universe. We're remembering this ancient truth, which the native and indigenous people have never forgotten. And I'm hopeful that to the world that we admire, take pictures of, use, consume, nature as thou then becomes something that works in us, that acts upon us, that really changes us. Crush an apple in your teeth and say to it, the seeds, your seeds, shall live in my body. The Lebanese poet Gibran portrays the apple and the grape and the beast as subjects. Subjects that provide us with nourishment, yes, but also they give us meaning and a powerful sense of purpose and identity. I am the vineyard. I am the vineyard, and my fruit shall be gathered for the winepress. Eating and drinking, these are perhaps the most profound and intimate acts of connecting with the web of the cosmos. In this act of chewing, and I've seen plenty of you out there chewing and ingesting, we can find our true nature. We can remember our place and our purpose in the world. But you know what? It takes an incredible amount of mindfulness, and it takes time. It takes time to eat like this. So yesterday I was running a little late in preparing for this service, and so it was I was still working into the late afternoon, and I looked up from my work and I realized it's dinner time. I had accepted an invitation to go to a circle dinner, and it was time to go. But I have to admit that there was a little voice in my head that said, you know, I should just keep working and just reach into my emergency chocolate stash and have that for dinner. I've done this before, so I, you know. I'm really glad that I didn't listen to that voice last night, because that dinner was so much more than just fueling up. It was a celebration of community. It was a celebration of our interdependence. It was an act of deep, deep gratitude for the bounties of the earth and for all the hands that sow and tend and harvest cook and bake and do dishes. Ethical eating is not about following the rules about what to eat and what not to eat. It is about finding absolute joy in the profoundest enactment of our connection to the world. In this pleasure, we experience and celebrate our dependence with gratitude, for we are living in mystery, are we not? We are living from creatures and plants we did not make, and we are living from powers that we cannot comprehend. May it be so. Amen.